Oh, thank you. I was saying that the figure on my altar is a Jizo figure, Jizo, protector of children and travelers and guide through the underworld. And this one was made by Fox Love, who is a potter and a member of our community. I don't know how well you can see, it's dark. And that's right for this time. A dark Jizo willing to go into the dark places with us and for us. Jizo carries a staff, which I once heard described as a crowbar, to open the gates of hell, and a torch to light the way out. And as we journey in this time of great beauty and great darkness, he seemed like a good companion for our journeying. So I'd like to amuse with you a little bit about this, why this right now, and what might happen. And then we will take our first walk through the story. Lewis Hyde, in his book, The Disappearing Ox, made a couple of comments that I thought really touched on what I think we might be doing here. One of them is, the true Dharma can be discovered only by one whose practice completes the incomplete. The true Dharma can be discovered only by one whose practice completes the incomplete. And that the movement of that feels to me like the movement of meeting this ancient story, meeting ourselves in this ancient story, one step at a time. Because the story isn't really a story until it's your story. And your story is only your story when you meet it. And in meeting, give birth to it, really. And so it feels like that sort of a dance for us this weekend. And another thing he said was, at the root of each sense is a gate. Perception there is not muddled. At the root of each sense is a gate. Perception there is not muddled. And so in retreat like this is such a good place to encounter a story and not to have a story about your story. And that because in our meditation and in the stillness and in our conversation as well, we can be alert to, we can be alive to the actual presence of what is for us. And the story really moves through the senses. And so our encounter with it is also a sense encounter with ourselves. In meditation, we don't have to hold on to an identity. we can allow direct. Meeting. And so you and ox both smell the sweet grass. You and crickets hear each other in the forest, teaching each other, learning each other. Hyde commented, "The cicada song is to the ear what moonlight is to the eye." In that kind of openness, we can discover what's present for us. So I noticed a few themes as I've walked towards this time to spend together. And one of them is about the reciprocity of relationship. That if I am looking for ox, ox is looking for me. If I'm looking for true self is looking for me. Can I be available? Yes. So a dance of relationship, and in dancing, we step away and then we step towards. There is a sense of turning and even before we meet the partner, there is the meeting, the partner that's coming. There is a rope before there's a rope. There is a back to ride on before there's a ride. So then this story, I think I'll probably talk more about this later, but, this story has its roots in India and maybe was an elephant first and was a shorter story ending with the vastness, with the true encounter with Dharmakaya. And that was coming from a time when, for most people, the fundamental idea of the path was to conclude it, to be fully realized and not have to be reborn, to be done, in a sense. And then with the Mahayana move came the realization that actually, that there's not an end like that. that doesn't actually fit the experience of our heart minds, because in that experience, there is that which gives rise to a bodhisattva vow. There is a coming back. And when we enter with our full wonder at the completeness of being human and bring that to exactly what we meet, bring it to the world where there's COVID, to the world where there is confusion, to the world where there is so much uncertainty. When we do that, we are willing to risk ourselves again. We know that we will once again find ourselves in the forest listening to the cicadas and we're willing. And so there's no longer, even though we may experience that journey as a piece, we also will experience all the aspects of this journey again, because we're willing, because our hearts are willing, because that's our bodhisattva way. And so the journey is both linear and nonlinear. And it's both personal and collective. So when we are that little person in the forest, having lost track, we may be also our humanity in the forest. And when we go aside looking, when we go following tracks and running into through the underbrush and scratching our arms and legs and finding the wondrous ox, that is not something that we do alone, because in actual fact, there's nothing that we do alone. And so there's this dual nature of the journey, which is both very solitary and never alone. And the service that we do, the connectedness that we keep, is not separate from the search that we are undergoing also. So we step into a sort of trust from the beginning. And it's odd, because it doesn't feel so much like a trust at the beginning. But at the same time, let's see what you notice as we go along. See if you don't notice a kind of unarticulated trust without which we don't go into the forest. What do you trust? And how is the journey an exploration of that trust, rather than trying to build in something that wasn't there? What is it in us that relishes the challenge? And finds the joy. And so another theme that is related to that, I think, and runs through for me for sure, is that deep question about how to come into accord with these times. What is it about mind? My mind, ordinary mind, big mind, that I haven't met yet, and that wants to be met, that's waiting to be met right now in these times. To come into accord with these times. The nature of your mind, the nature of your life, the nature of our karma. And what can we cultivate together? So with that much long preamble. let's take a wander through the story, this journey that both goes somewhere and returns and continues. Remembering that the actors might trade roles now and then along this journey. I'm going to do something a little bit odd, but I think we have time. And that is to do a walkthrough twice with two different sets of pictures. Mary is kindly going to share for us the first pictures, which are the ones from Kakuan, the most often used ones. But I'm going to read the verses in a way that's maybe not one that you've met before. So, Mary, would you go ahead and give us the first picture? There you are with your cute hairstyle in the pasture of the world. I endlessly push aside the tall grasses in search of the ox, following unnamed rivers, lost upon the interpenetrating paths of distant mountains. My strength failing and my vitality exhausted, I cannot find the ox. Next. I see his prints. Deep in remote mountains they're found. These traces can no more be hidden than one's nose looking heavenward. Next. I hear the song of the nightingale. The sun is warm. The wind is mild. Willows are green along the shore. Here, no ox can hide. What artist can draw that massive head, those majestic horns? Next. I seize him with a terrific struggle. His great will and power are inexhaustible. He charges to the high plateau far above the cloud mists, or in an impenetrable ravine he stands. Next. The whip and rope are necessary, else he might stray off down some dusty road. Being well-trained, he becomes naturally gentle. Then, unfettered, he obeys his master. Next. Mounting the ox, slowly I return homeward. The voice of my flute intones through the evening, measuring with hand beats the pulsating harmony. I direct the endless rhythm. Whoever hears this melody will join me. Next. Astride the ox, I reach home. I'm serene. The ox, too, can rest. The dawn has come. In blissful repose within my thatched dwelling, I have abandoned the whip and ropes. Next. Whip, rope, person, and ox all merge into no thing. This heaven is so vast, no message can stain it. How may a snowflake exist in a raging fire? Here are the footprints of the ancestors. Next. Too many steps have been taken returning to the root and the source. Better to have been blind and deaf from the beginning. Dwelling in one's true abode, unconcerned with and without, the river flows tranquilly on and the flowers bloom red. Next. Barefooted and naked of breast, I mingle with the people of the world. My clothes are ragged and dust laden, and I am blissful. I use no magic to extend my life. Now, before me, the dead trees become alive. And so, thank you, Mary. And now, if this works, what I'm going to do is, just checking our timing. Yeah, we're still good. What I'm going to do now is, I'm going to use the translation for at least a few of the pictures, the translation of Lewis Hyde, the barest translation that's just translating the words, but not with his illustrations. So this is going to be a little odd. We will be bringing in we'll be responding in our own ways as we go along, but I wanted to give you the flavor of this and send you with it into the night. And for these, for the pictures, there's actually a preface to each poem that apparently was written most likely by one of Kakuan's students. And for the first few, I think I'm going to give you both. Just a second, I have to find it. I have to decide that I'm going to share. And then I will share this. From start, not lost. What use search for? Because abandoned awakening, so become scarce, living near dust and therefore loss. Home, mountain, gradually distant, branched roads, suddenly strange, gain, loss, blazing up, right, wrong, blade rising. Search ox. Without bounds, stirring grasses, leaving, tracking down. Waters broad, mountains distant, road more obscure, strength exhausted, spirit weary, no place to hunt, but hearing sweet gum trees, evening cicada song.
Sarah?
Yes.
Were you sharing a screen?
Uh-oh.
Because we didn't see it.
Oh, all righty. It says I it's in front of me. Okay. I'm not sure why that happened. In that case, oh, now do you see it? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. 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 Thanks for telling me. So I'm going to show you that first one for a minute then. Now you see it?
Yes.
Okay. That was fine because you could be seeing your own picture. And we'll be making our own expressions tomorrow. So here's the second one. For this one, I think I'm going to not read the preface, but go straight to the poem. Well, actually, I take that back. I'm going to trust you to just absorb what you absorb. The second one, Sea Tracks. Following sutras, understanding meaning, reading teachings, perceiving footprints, clear. Multiple vessels are one gold. Understand all things are one's self. Right, wrong, unable to distinguish. True, false, how to separate. Not yet enter this gate. Merely achieve sea tracks. The poem, river beside, trees under, tracks unexpected many, fragrant grasses scattered about, does not see, although in deep mountains, even deeper recesses, distant heavens, that knows how conceal it. Try making that bigger. There we go. Sea ox. yellow oriole branch on one call, sun warm, wind gentle, shore willow green, just this, more not. Not a void meeting place. Full grown head, horns, painting difficult to complete. One more, I think. I'll say one thing about this, the representations of ox. In the time when there were just the first six, the ox was depicted as changing through the story from dark to white. And so halfway through the story, half dark, half white. And that kind of dropped out later. And one comment that I came across made a lot of sense to me, which was really to do with overcoming that sense that we were going to achieve some purity of mind, and realizing that mind, just as it is, is in relationship, is the critical relationship. And I've been feeling as I've been hanging out with this story that for me, that the oddest part, the thing that stuck out for me most, was the rope. And feeling that the tension of that rope, not as a domination, but as almost like, you know, when we were kids and played telephone, you know, each of you has a can at the end of the rope, you know, a sense of feeling each other, getting to feel the movement of each other, finding the, when do I need to give? When do I need to, hold. And so very much more a sense of dance than a sense of taming in the dominating mode. Trungpa Rinpoche, in his discussion of these pictures, has this ongoing theme of encountering and coming to wear out and release your own aggression. And I think one of the gifts of meditation, when we just do it and allow it to be as it is and gradually stop beating ourselves up about how we do it, but actually let everything come in with us, I think one of the great gifts of that is that encountering our mind, we find that we don't need to have a relationship of aggression towards mind. And So I'm interested in how this story connects with that experience. Here are the words for this one. Get ox. Exhaust entire vital energy. Get hold it. Heart, mind, strong. Strength, vigorous. Finally, difficult to subdue. Sometimes just arrives high land summit. Also enters hazy clouds. Deep regions to dwell. So I think I'm going to stop sharing here, and I think we have time for a little bit of conversation, and I'm wondering what you're finding rising in your own heart minds that you would like to share. So we're fortunately all fitting on one screen, and you can just unmute yourself. I really find that space bar trick very handy. Feel free to unmute yourself and speak what's coming up for you as we enter this territory together.